And it is about 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is about noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is July 25th, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. It has been a wild couple of weeks, and actually we all embracing to see what changes is going to take place soon with the policy. Since the revolt or the coup in the failed coup in Turkey, and we need to embrace to changes and to decision making. You see, when Britain got out of the European Union, she decided and she changed. She created a new government, new prime minister. Everything is on the post, and now they have to decide how they're gonna exit. That was plain leadership. You had an exercise of power, exercise of calm and collective understanding of what it task. That's what we all have to do now. Now we have a failed coup in Turkey that we all are embracing ourselves to see what Erdogan is going to do. And in all this, we are sad to hear all this news about the victim in Germany, again in Florida, again and again and again, and the world say, well, they're sick, they're probably depressed, and maybe that's why they're taking some drugs that get them crazy, which I understood that it's really understandable. And the latest news is that Hezbollah is promoting much massive drug sale around. Hezbollah is in the Lebanon border with Syria. Means that she's the organization is still in control of all the militias work against the Daesh ISIS in around. Now the news from the region is that Daesh ISIS is actually failing. Its shortcoming is overwhelming. It's shrinking. The land that it's conquered is shrinking again and again. And maybe the West or the free world has its takes. Now we know that they've been fighting for the caliphate. The idea is there. Now remember, ideas never fail, but they have to have a good stories. And right now, the stories of ISIS is really awful. It's not gonna play in the book of the youngs. And there are many desperates all that want to kill themselves, so they use it as an excuse, maybe drugs or whatever. So we too have hope. But what happened to Turkey in the process? We saw that there was an attempt to coup, and then everything broke. All whatever we understood that Turkey is standing for is changing. Let's listen to some of what I gather.
Türkiye devletinin bütün olarak
What we're living through is one of the biggest threats Turkey has faced in 200-300 years. Nearly all of the members of the terror organization have practically had their brains removed. They've been hypnotized. They're like robots. Each of them is a potential threat. They could do anything. They could commit all sorts of attacks, including suicide bombs. It's a threat bigger than ISIS and PKK, and those threats target Turkey's unity.
In the last week, there have been almost 60,000 people either suspended, dismissed, detained. How do you justify such a purge, including in the education sector?
40 yıldan beri bu
For 40 years, this terror organization has infiltrated the furthest corners of the country, all ministries, all institutions, and the private sector. It's not just the judiciary, courts, the police, the military. It includes education. And in fact, education is the field that they have entered best. This is only the tip of the iceberg. The number of detentions could get higher, but it's only people who have been 100% identified who are getting detained or investigated or arrested.
Do you understand the criticism, given how polarized Turkey has been, and given the reputation of the government for clamping down on the opposition here?
Before the coup attempt, Turkish politics was seriously polarized. It's not there anymore. We ask countries who are our allies to look at the situation without prejudice. They are not condemning the coup and are only half-heartedly criticizing the coup makers. And then they turn around and say, don't do this, don't do that. This isn't an objective, rational, correct approach.
All right. So we have one statement of one of the representative of the Prime Minister of Turkey, Erdogan, who says that all the people who revolt against Erdogan are terrorists. Well, it's a position that they need to prove because they said they infiltrated everything. It means like whoever was in the leadership position in the judiciary area was fired. Then 1,000 been arrested. We're talking about academia. We're talking about soldiers, of course. We're talking about thousands of people that right now are under the gun. And from the noise that we're hearing, they are going through torture. So Erdogan is torturing them because for 15 minutes, he had a risk on his life, which for some reason, it wasn't a risk because he was notified ahead of time. That's why he moved from his hotel to some other place, which was good. But the idea is that he's have all this scenario with ready list of people that he went to arrest. And the West is saying nothing, and he's actually pointing finger to the USA, telling us that they need to extradite one of the his opposition. Which we at this time can tell that, you know, everybody has the right to quit a country and go to look for asylum in some other country. So America is not really obligated to extradite anybody since we don't have a proof. And the proof of Erdogan right now is that he is trying to control a dictate a leadership of dictatorship in his country. So I don't know what kind of game he's playing, but definitely pointing finger at the USA is not going to be conducive for his leadership, because as I see it right now, his leadership is at risk for the very basic fact that he's actually not respecting democracy. Once NATO is signed to protect the Turks, the country, the Turkey, for democracy, in alliance, of course, with NATO's and the alliance forces and America, he's actually is going against the state of a very agreement that NATO has signed off to protect the Turks from any oppression, inside or out. And he is inside terrorist right now. It's not terrorists that wanted a coup right now. He is acting like a dictator. Let's listen to some more. Let's make an opinion over it.
In this secluded mountain retreat lives the man that Turkey's president accuses of plotting to overthrow him. Fethullah Gulen, an Islamic cleric who used to be Mr. Erdogan's ally, now seen as a dangerous rival. Despite ill health, he's taken the rare step of publicly defending himself.
Mr. Erdogan and his supporters insist that they can prove that you were behind the attempted coup in Turkey. How do you respond to that?
It's up to them to produce evidence, he told me. He condemned the coup attempt as treason and said he would have tried to stop a takeover if he'd known about it.
My attitude is that even at the helm of the country, there are people who would like to repress me and suppress me and oppress me at the level of blood-sucking vampires. Then I do not want them to be removed in anti-democratic means. This is my attitude toward any and even the idea or the consideration of military coup.
Protesters who gathered at the weekend think otherwise, that Mr. Gulen leads a movement which has quietly taken over Turkey's bureaucracy to subvert the government from within. He doesn't seem to live the life of a powerful coup mastermind, but from these Spartan quarters he does inspire possibly millions of followers. He urged them to stay peaceful, but had harsh words for Mr. Erdogan's crackdown.
Böylesine korkunç bir ayrıştırma adına zannediyorum.
In such a horrible picture, it's not possible to talk about democracy anymore, it's not possible to talk about the constitution anymore, it's not possible to talk about republican form of government anymore. This kind of regime resembles more like a clan or a tribal administration.
Mr. Gulen seemed unfazed by President Erdogan's plans for a formal extradition request, although it looked as if he could pack quickly if he had to. But this could create headaches for the U.S. government.
This is not going to go away. Turkey's president is intent on pressing his case. The Americans want to see evidence that would stand up in a U.S. court. So the fate of Mr. Gulen could impact not only developments in Turkey, but also relations between Washington and Ankara. Barbara Platt-Usher, BBC News, Salisbury, Pennsylvania.
All right. All right, we're back. Well, Erdogan is the president. It's not a prime minister. I'm sorry, I mentioned it before differently. Well, Gulen says that he's not the guy, and he would have said something. So he actually denied any involvement in this, which seems like his powers not even proceed to be as such. But you know that sometimes the people of the tribes around here in the Middle East, they predict who can precede them, who can, in case they go bad, who's going to be in control. And what they do, usually they kill them or they make them disappear or they poof them around with some evidence of some sort. So for Erdogan, who is definitely trying to get a dictatorship position or be the powerful leader of Turkey, and you never know what else, because his actions are predicting a very, very bad motto right now. So he can see some risk coming from that guy. Probably that guy, you know, Gulen doesn't even predict it. But if in his math, Mr. Erdogan, the just made peace with Russia, made peace with Israel, made peace probably with too many people of the enemy of humankind, like, you know, the Iranian guy, I think he's playing with fire for far too long. And we all knew that it's not going to end up in a normal thing. Now, what are we going to do about it? Let's listen to some more.
It isn't over. It's really just beginning. President Erdogan's people are mourning their dead, but they are triumphant. They sense a decisive shift in Turkey's history. That after this, Tayyip Erdogan will be free to shape the nation according to his will. In the blue shirt, Salih Kaymakçı is a student of Ottoman history, Turkey's last emperors, and sees Erdogan as a visionary.
So he represents for us more than just, you know, the material prosperity. He represents like gaining our freedoms, like that we can enjoy in any free society.
You believe the crackdown is necessary?
Well, I don't, first of all, call it like a crackdown. It's kind of like a democratically elected government and like...
arresting thousands of people.
Not arresting thousands of people, arresting the plotters of a coup.
60 years old, a former footballer who became mayor of Istanbul, Tayyip Erdogan disdains Western criticism, telling the EU, keep your wisdom to yourself. The president spent his teenage years here in Kasımpaşa, one of the city's oldest neighborhoods, and they revere him.
Growing up here, Tayyip Erdogan rejected the rigid secularism of the old ruling elite that dominated Turkish politics for nearly 80 years. A huge part of his appeal is that he offers a sense of belonging to those who felt shut out of that society, the poor and the more religiously conservative. There are millions of them.
The generations that grew up under military rule believe the coup plotters tried to destroy an order that improved their lives. Aynur Alpar has 18 grandchildren and one great-grandchild.
Of course he cares about the people. He gave food and homes to the poor. Thank God. The ones before him didn't do anything.
There is a vengeful atmosphere, This public humiliation of army conscripts is unprecedented. The targeting of enemies with fists and with security laws has only begun. These men have reason to be afraid. They exposed alleged corruption by the Erdogan government and criticize his authoritarianism. Their website was banned today.
If we say that we are afraid, it would be selfish. There are tens of journalists in prison. We need to keep publishing. We are abused online. They can target us on the streets with guns and knives. They are capable of lynching.
The momentum is with President Erdogan now. Power is flowing to him. And in this new Turkey, you are his supporter or you are his enemy. Fergal Keen, BBC News, Istanbul.
All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the impossible truth and the impossible idea that Erdogan, the president of Turkey, is actually protecting democracy, protecting the Turks. Right now, whatever he's protecting is New Palace with how many thousand rooms? He actually planned ahead a very, very strong establishment of power. Now, I wonder what NATO is going to do about it, because there is Article 5 that, you know, that in NATO that's supposed to protect this kind of activity. Now, NATO is a force of power to sustain the democratic life of the people that live in that region. America is a very strong force. Actually, is the one, you know, America is the one who makes most of the effort to sustain NATO. And I know that they were talking about, you know, the candidate to the U.S. presidency, Donald Trump, that wanted to rule out the involvement of the USA from NATO, which is ludicrous, because if somebody understand the region, understand what NATO is supposed to do. And I would like to say to you all at this point, NATO needs to stand up for the Turks. I know it's not comfortable. I know that the European Union think that they lost their the gold eggs, you know, the gold eggs of the special goose of England when Brexit happened. But it doesn't matter. Europe is Europe is Europe, and NATO is NATO is NATO, and we need to protect democracy, because if, by all means, under all this confusion, you will get another regime rising up, you, the leader of the free world, had failed to do your job, because there is no way that with these alliances, of strong alliances of the West against Daesh, the Turks will come and take the leadership to a different level. It's not happening. It cannot happen under your watch. It takes only one call to say to Mr. Erdogan, you got 30 days of emergency left, or what? How much emergency time it was taking? 3 months, I think, that exceeding and giving the rule of law no perimeter to work with. Like those abused in jail, they're going to be abused forever there. So we have to say, in the next 30 days, if you don't establish back the rule of law and regulation, it means that you actually decided not to keep your democracy intact. And that's where Article 5 or whatever other article of the agreement with Turks needs to be applicable. Because when you sign to protect the nation, you sign it from any craziness that come even within. Are we clear that this guy is not going to be a democratic ruler? Oh, maybe he's going to change his mind. I don't know. But right now, deciding to put the death penalty again, and I know that in America it takes a lot to send somebody to to the death row. And after then, also, they have a lot of chances to redeem that. And maybe we should talk about it sometime. Because I don't know about that. It's something that I really feel uncomfortable talking about. But the only clear idea right now is that Mr. Erdogan is using his power, his force, his military, and the excuse to do whatever he wants with his people and with men and throw them and coming in the face of America and talking back like he rules. Guys, if you don't back him up and sit him on his chair and tell him you back to your corner, little guy, and do what you're supposed to do, release all those people. If not, we'll send a democratic elected official and we'll start organizing your country. It's not happening, you guys. We need to watch out. This world is going crazy, maybe, but it's not that crazy. You guys are scared because all of a sudden people are bombing in your street, in France, in Germany. God forbid, if you lose your mind, you lose everything you have. Do you think that Israel would survive if we would get scared and go running every time something like that happened? Or more, you know? It's not like something happens every other day or every week, after a year. I don't know. I hope that it never comes again. But if Israel will have to react like this, drop the the ball every time something happens, that, oh, there are crazy people around. Around here, it's going to be a regime change, and who cares? No, we cannot let it happen. We cannot let it happen. And you guys are really not coming to the play to play. Now, we know that there is some elections going on in America, but we still have a president that is really, really well in check. Even though there is a kind of revolt in America. And I hope that they have to empower everybody to do the right thing, because the new candidate they use in Law and Order for his new rhetoric is really scary, because it's, it sounds like Mussolini right now. But it's not about law and order. It's about leadership. The people need to be... to be understood. All right, guys. I think that we conquered half an hour of the show almost, and we would like to keep on going for the next one, but let's listen to some music. So cool. Thank you, Dagnasum. You always win me. I appreciate that. All right. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth, you all. I know that the world seems to be going no place, but I'm telling you, it's in the adjustment way. It means that God is in control and everything starts to make sense. Now, we're defeating ISIS. That's a fact. And the Israeli companies are organizing to help with new technology, with new assistance to the world, to be the light upon nation, as the biblical quote says, that, Israel's supposed to help everybody. And so we are doing, to come, to protect, to teach whoever how to survive, You can make the difference. You guys, you're not alone. We are with you, and we're going to overcome it, okay? Now, you guys in America, play nice, because I know that the Democratic Convention is starting tonight in Philadelphia. Hello, Philly. And I know that you guys are going crazy because WikiLeaks just decided to release those emails that saying, oh, we don't really like Sanders. Let's play DNCs and do what we always do in politics. We manipulate the crowd and we make Mrs. Clinton the candidate. But you just remember, I can't forget that bird that landed up on Sanders' podiums. And I knew that God is in play, and I don't know what's going to happen, but there is something. That's why I have no opinion who is going to be the winner, because I'm still happening for the game changer here. And I thought maybe, you know, Hillary is going to bring some great candidate to play. But, well, all right. Nothing much. I like Pence better. Let's say it. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. We're not done with Turkey. We have to make a decision. Let's listen to what NATO is actually not doing yet.
Chaos unfolded in Turkey on Friday amid what the nation's president said was an attempted coup by the military. How NATO might respond to the unrest in the member country is unclear. Without saying what actions, if any, NATO would take, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg wrote in a tweet, just spoke to Turkish FM, a call for calm, restraint, and full respect for Turkey's democratic institutions and constitution. Turkey joined NATO in 1952. The country has maintained its membership in spite of past military coups and other institutional turmoil. As a member, Turkey is protected under Article 5 of the Pact. Under that article, member nations agree that an armed attack against one or more of them shall be considered an attack against them all. A coup, however, is a different situation not necessarily implied by the protections of Article 5.
You see how you hear how they try to twist it. Article 5 is not actually protecting it from a coup. Oh, really? We're not talking about the coup. We are talking about, it's not like you have to protect Erdogan. You have to protect the Turks from Erdogan actions if he doesn't come back and play it like the nice president is supposed to be to his people. All right? So we have some ideas how to do it. We just have to start using it. We have the rules. We have the signature. It's NATO, for God's sake, and it's America who can play a very leading role. And Kerry, come on, guys, you're not done yet. You can go and fix whatever it is. Now, let me tell you something. I've been wanting to say something about, you know, changing the subject about the rest of the world, okay? Because Turks are busy keeping us busy. ISIS kept us busy. But we need to take care of whatever the rest of the world is in need right now. I know that there is people starving in Venezuela. I know that Chavez, that was a very bad leader for Venezuela, who alienated everybody, who started a very bad mood, brought this country to its knees. I would like some prayer for friends that come, you know, they're sending me messages right now in my ears. I can blink all the seconds, you know, that they do that. Right now, they're asking me from Nepal, they are asking for a prayer. People have a lot of hard time. We need to embrace to help. And I know that there are so many souls scattered all over the Middle East from Syria. And I know that the world did not decide what to do with Assad regime. And in the same time, that they are scattered. They actually, you know, they are crazy one that can change the rules and order in everyday life in Europe and elsewhere. So in America, in Florida, for God's sake, there was like Fort Myers, what they were saying, that there was somebody who just blew up in a club, you know, 15 years old, playing, dancing, or whatever they're doing there. And you understand, we cannot hold, embrace ourselves for too long. We need to go on attack, on protection, protect your own, and keep on going and make sure that whoever is doing the job, you know, United Nations does not come to play at this stage. I think that we need to organize something there. I know that they're going to change the chairman soon. Thank God, because for some reason the guy was thinking that, you know, the United Nations hiding missile for Hamas was normal, even though that he said that there was investigation, but nothing came out of it. I'm saying there are people who hold keys. And right now, if you don't do your job, you better keep on going and leave the world to be. And let's start to take care of people. And I'm calling upon the government of India. I'm going to call all the people to travel to India to stop going there if the Indian government does not help secure the travelers. Because the violence against women is impossible. We have Venezuela, we have Nepal, we have so many people that are asking for help right now. And we have to use, you know, our energy and time on some lunatics. And we're going to have good news soon, you know. It's not, those lunatics is going to go away eventually. We're going to get a control, or we're going to get a better government. And you know what? We have election for everybody. It's like a change of regime everywhere. You know, we have England change. We have an election in France, which seems like you know, Mrs. Royal is maybe running. I don't know. So Galen Royal, you know, the ex-wife of the ex-premier. You have a lot of women in power that can make a difference right now. And I know that Angela Merkel is an exceptional woman, and she's going to keep on going. And God willing, she's going to keep on from strain to strain, because we need her in our place and Germany needs her. So I'm sending all our best and a lot of comfort. But I want you to be really clear on what we need to do. There are rules and regulation that we all have to abide by here. There is no exceptions. No exception to nobody. And no exception to anybody to think that, you know, you can go on Facebook and decide what post is sympathetic to you or not. Because right now, as I see it, even Facebook did not pass the, you know, that place. I've been wondering what's going on, because many people are complaining right now. So they're going to leave Facebook and they're going to go else. You know, we don't have to play wherever you put us in. We can move. And that's what company know the best. If you're in marketing, you know that nobody will play with you as long you know, you are acting weird. If you play by the rules, if you are entertaining, they'll come and play with you once again and again. And if they trust you, they will stay with you forever. That's what you need to have. We have to use people who we can trust, people who can be reliable in the time of need. We need people that will take us for the leap of faith to go to the next level. I don't want any cowards that will, you know, to take us anywhere. We want them out of the field. We want them to play right. And I detect a few cowards in the mix here. And we need to make sure that the world is clear about what we're doing. We are not going to let, you know, any other war happen. We're going to make sure that people are free, are godly, or whatever they want to do, you know, to worship. It's their right. Study to learn. And there are, you know, not everything is rosy in Israel here too. Tomorrow they're going to vote, changing the subject for a minute. They're going to vote for the religious people to have the right not to teach math and English to their children. For the first time in the history of Israel, I can say that tomorrow, if they're going to vote yes on onto learning experience for children, I would say the children of Israel are subject to religious, incredibly religious fanaticism. And I am a religious person. I believe in God Almighty with all my heart and soul, but I would not prevent from my children or the children of anybody in the rest of the world. Actually, I'll fight for them to learn English and math. For God's sake, we're talking math. If you guys, if Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to allow this darkness of a law to pass, God is our witness. Only God can save us from this dark moment. Education is the breadwinner of the future. People, technology, people in the world needs to know, to learn, to feature. I hear people, you know, religious people that got out from the religious, you know, incubators. And they were complaining today that they need to do Google Translate to their, you know, letters, because they want to do business with people and they cannot do it right in English, so they do translate. And you know what happened when you translate it with Google? It's okay, but it's not really okay. So while you're talking about democracy, while we're talking about freedom, while talking about God, I really want you to understand that every day is a new day. And whatever you do tomorrow is important for the rest of us all. And please, please, don't let this kind of law pass in Israel, which is dark. Don't let Erdogan take over a country that is bad. Don't let Assad stay in power when 15 million are, you know, all over the streets of the world. And you know, and when you pick somebody to lead you, please give them some people and tool to do it right and to monitor. And, you know, all the collaboration in the world that they succeed. Because we don't have the luxury to fail. We actually have only the choice to win, to succeed, and proceed. This is our duty in the world, and every day that you're here, you must be the best you can for your sake, for the world's sake, for your family, for your friends, for everybody's sake. Doing less than that is not exceptional, acceptable. All right? Be exceptional. All right, guys, I've been running around, and there is some more segment that I want you to listen. Let's listen to the startup about the Olympics that's coming up soon. And I know that the teams already arrived to the scene in Brazil. Let's listen to some of them.
Next News Network is sponsored in part by GetTheTea.com, a powerful detox tea to support your health.
Well, chaos across the planet apparently as Brazil now is bracing for historic violence ahead of the Rio Olympics. That term, historic violence, is really in the headlines these days. We interviewed Gerald Celente some time ago. You can find the links in our YouTube channel, stating historic violence is going to be at the Republican conventions, the Democratic conventions. We're looking at the collapse of the European Union right now. And of course, the Olympics certainly is another location where there will be unrest. This story comes to us from Joe Leahy over at the Financial Times. He's stating that in many ways, Lieutenant Tatiana Lima has got it easy as the police commander of the Santa Marta favela or slum in central Rio de Janeiro. He writes that as the first favela of Brazil's second largest city to be pacified in 2008, the armed drug traffickers who ran the slum were driven out and replaced by community police posts. He states that Santa Marta has become a tourist attraction, but even this relative safe haven has not escaped unscathed from a recent upsurge in violence in Rio's favelas ahead of the 2016 Olympic Games in August. He continues that a few months ago, police killed a 17-year-old bandit in a shootout with traffickers. They were trying to invade the Santa Marta through the jungle, growing on the mountainside from which the favela enjoys commanding views over the beachside city and towards the Christ the Redeemer statue. So, violence, historic levels are anticipated at the Rio Olympics. Of course, there's also, you have to remember, the Zika virus. There's even NBC reporters, as we've reported here, terrified at the prospect of actually traveling to Rio because of the Zika virus. And now there's going to be historic levels of violence there. Seems like a perfect storm for an action of some sort. Maybe even a false flag. Who knows what could happen? But we will bring you the latest as more information becomes available and the Rio Olympics inches closer. What are your thoughts? Comment below. Subscribe for updates. If you like what we're doing here at the Next News Network, give us a thumbs up.
All right. I'm sorry we missed that, but I thank those people who helped me make this show happen. Now, let's listen to what they were saying, that they might have some stand-up violence in Rio. Yes, but I learned that there is a center of 50, a unit, special unit from 50 countries that they're helping secure the arena and all the rest. So let's hope and pray for them to succeed. Now, I know I learned from the radio today, Israeli news, that the team that arrived to the Olympic area have a very good high spirit. However, some noises from the Australian team saying that they are not going to stay because they don't like the facility or stuff like this. Stuff doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. They just had a problem in this country. And whatever they succeed, you guys, or you make it work and think that you are, you know, in boot camp, or if there is something major, you can leave. But don't leave if it's only because you are spoiled rotten and you can't, you know, handle something. Because the Israeli, which they know good time and bad time, he said, well, we'll make it work. Whatever it is, we'll make it work. So just be in the spirit and make it work. You're already there. The Olympics are going to take place. So we all going to call for you to have a safe one, a healthy one, and come back home safely. That's all what we want. Then be happy and do your best. You know, it's a sport, and maybe the world is going to shift in spirit because to see you all coming together in this time. And, you know, the Brazilians really need that. They really need that. And the fact that they didn't cancel it means a lot. So let's hope and pray that we can make it work. All right? So, guys, I do feel that something is shifting. I believe, I feel it in my heart that it's going to be okay. We are not yet over the storm, but we will manage to go to the next level. And I think that wherever you are, you just think about the next 5 years. make a plan and see at the end of the day what you want to achieve. Make a route, make a plan to succeed. Pray for healthy, make your term with God, and please create a way for you to be the best you can, because I know that everybody has a challenges, but we looked around, we saw so many shortcomings of so many people, and money is not really worth it to go all out and not having a life with family. If you're driving and if you're working hard day and night, just remember you have to take the time to be a person. The mechanics of making money, as they come, the money leaves too. So at the end of the day, you will have your family. When you grow older, when you want some love, tender love and care from somebody, when you're not feeling so well, just remember if you invested. In the relationship, if you invested in your friends, in your family, if you're truly, truly caring to humanity, because in general, whatever you put in, you'll get out. So your basket of kindness supposed to play a major game right now, because we're all out of cruelness. We all done with those stupid movies that show the kids out to kill, or those stupid, and I'm calling you guys to withdraw all those names, to how to teach a killer, how to be mad, or how to be sick, or how to be whatever. All those negative attributes that you're teaching the children, you'll be responsible to it. And I'm not talking about, like a religious fanatic. You guys are predicting what? That the world is going to go nuts, and I'm predicting the world is going to be great. How do you like that? Remember when we say, what a beautiful world? Remember that movie too? That's how we like it, okay? We like it that way, to think that it's going to be okay. And it's up to you, and it's up to me, and it's up to all of us. So smile, and the world will smile back to you, and get a grip. And Donald Trump, please stop screaming at us like crazy, because we don't like dictators, not here, not there, not in America, for God's sake. And for all of you guys, I'm sending all my love, all my best, and all my cheery self to tell you that tomorrow is a new day. Make the best of it. God bless you all in America. Love you, miss you, and in the rest of the world. See you soon. Ciao, ciao.